time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, thanks for joining me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I want to say a couple of words before we dive into our topic for today. First of all, I want to ask you to consider supporting financially this podcast ministry on a monthly basis. Now, for even as little as $8 a month, that's a dollar a podcast, you can be a part of this ministry. And every person who is a part of our donation team, our bride tribe here, is important to this ministry. And so we are not at hundreds of thousands of dollars a year type ministry. We are just operating on bare bones. And so every dollar that's given really does count. We have some very pressing needs in our ministry right now in terms of equipment, in terms of a new laptop that our ministry needs. That this one is old and it's on its last leg. There are many needs that we have. If you'd like to know specifically what some of those needs are, you are more than welcome to email me at jeffkinleyauthor@gmail.com. jeffkinleyauthor@gmail.com, or go to jeffkinley.com, click on the contact tab, and you can send me a note there and I'll get that as well. So I just want to make that that announcement to you that we welcome your gifts. We need your gifts, and we need partners who believe in what I'm doing here in this podcast. Also, if you hadn't already checked out our Prophecy at Sea cruise, oh my goodness, come on, let's go to the Caribbean. Let's go to Cozumel together. Let's go to Costa Maya together. Let's be on board this huge ship and talk about some really cool things with Bible Prophecy in September. We'll be sailing out of Galveston, and it's a very affordable cruise, and I really want you to come. We're going to hang out together. We're going to have meals together, and it's going to be a small group, so it's going to be a great opportunity for you to know some of the other speakers. Dr. David Reagan, Billy Crone, Don Perkins, and Tom Hughes, and myself are going to come together and really deliver some great meat and potatoes, spiritually speaking, along with the other great meals we're going to have on board the ship as well. Some other exciting things that are happening in the fall, I'll be telling you about in the next upcoming podcast that you can join and participate in. But just wanted to let you know about that as well. And then finally, before we dive in, buy my books, okay? I am not ashamed to tell you to buy my books because I really believe in the things that I've written in them. I've devoted my entire adult life to giving people God's vintage truth. And I think I don't know if I speak better than I write or write better than I speak, but people seem to get it either way. And that's good. I give all the glory to God for that. But you need to pick up my books, particularly Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy, which is my latest book. And I guarantee you're going to be blessed as you go through that. Okay, so here's the topic we're going to talk about in the next couple of podcasts is why on earth would you as a Christian want to study Bible prophecy? I mean, is this kind of the geek squad of the Christian community, or is there something more mainstream that should be going on here? You know what the word disciple means, by the way? This is a Greek word, mathetes. It's used over 275 times in the New Testament. In fact, it's what we're called. We're not even called Christians, except for three times in the whole New Testament. And most of those times were nicknames making fun of us, not names that we called ourselves. We call ourselves disciples. Jesus called us disciples. And the word disciple, primarily in its root meaning, it means learner. A disciple is someone who follows someone else and they learn from them. And we are all learners. We are all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just don't understand why you want to call yourself a believer in Jesus and not want to keep learning, because there's so much to know, so much to learn as a believer in Christ. And so I hope that some of these podcasts are just really awakening your heart to want it, giving you that appetite, that first taste to want to learn more about God and about His Word and about your own life and how to live for Him. And one of those areas is Bible prophecy. So I want to give you 10 reasons over the next couple of podcasts, 10 reasons why I think it's very important for us to be studying Bible prophecy. Okay? Here's the first reason, is that Bible prophecy takes up roughly 28% or more of the Bible, of the 66 books of the Bible. 28% of it was prophetic when it was written. So that's almost a third, over a fourth, almost a third of the Bible itself. Now, if you were in college and you were taking a test and the professor said, now, fully one third of the test is coming from this area, wouldn't you make sure that you studied that one third? And think about it. What God says in His Word is so much more important than a college test. It's God's Word. And so why would you not, I'm just wondering, why would you not want to study what God deems to be a third importance of His Word? I don't get that. So it's very important. You know, now a lot of Christians, I know what people say sometimes. They say, well, I don't know about prophecy. It's so hard to understand. Well, that's why I wrote this book, Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy. I teach you how to understand Bible prophecy, how to interpret Bible prophecy. I give you rules for interpretation and how to get to an accurate conclusion when you study Bible prophecy. I mean, I understand there's symbols and metaphors and similes and cryptic words and hidden meanings and all that. So it seems like this Rubik's Cube. Give a Rubik's Cube to an infant in a playpen and expect that kid to come up with the right combination to solve the cube. I get that, but just because something is a little bit more difficult doesn't mean you shouldn't rise to the occasion. That's like saying, well, I'm used to playing on the toddler's basketball goal that's 3 feet off the ground. You're raising the goal. Yeah, because you're supposed to be growing. You're supposed to be maturing in Christ. And with that maturation comes a hunger for depth and for meaning and to go deeper with God. So yeah, the goal is not 3 feet. We're in big boy land. We're in big girl land right now. And the goal is 10 feet, and it's 10 feet in high school, in college, and in the pros. So you got to learn to shoot on a 10-foot goal. So it may be time for you as a believer to grow up some in your Christian life and tackle what God says is one-third, what God includes as one-third of the Bible. Now, some people say, and I get this, we're getting to number two in a second. Some people say, well, I've never heard my pastor really teach much on this topic. Well, I would say to you, you're probably right, because most pastors don't. In fact, in this book, I list the top 10 reasons why I believe your pastor or most pastors don't ever preach on Bible prophecy. You can find that out in the back of the book. And, you know, some people have even said to me, well, Jeff, you know, Revelation and all this prophetic stuff, it scares me. It scares me. And I say, well, you know, if I can understand if you are not a Christian and you believed you were going to go through the tribulation, I would say I can understand a little bit why you that would scare you. I can even understand a little bit if you're a Christian and you still think you're going to go through the judgments of the book of Revelation. I can understand how that would scare you. I mean, I don't want 100-pound hailstones and you know, demon locusts coming after me and stinging me. I don't want that either. So I can understand that. I personally don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation. I believe that we will be raptured prior to the tribulation. And if that belief is true, then you have no fear. In fact, God's going to rescue you before that happens. But I think people who have a fear of the apocalypse, of God's apocalyptic, I think this fear has something to do with the fact of how they've been taught to view A, the Bible, and B, God. Because when you have a relationship with God and you trust in a sovereign God to take care of you, why would you be afraid of something that's not even going to happen to you? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So that would say to me, well, then all the more you need to know about Bible prophecy so that you don't have to have a fear of what's going to happen. You need to find out what is going to happen. So anyway, all that to say, is the Bible is 28% of prophecy is 28% of the Bible. Okay, reason number two. Number two, the reason you should study Bible prophecy is because all of past Bible prophecy as it related to Jesus' first coming, it's all been fulfilled. Now, let's do a little bit of deduction here. If there's past prophecy that God made in the Old Testament, and when Jesus came the first time, all of that prophecy was fulfilled. Now we have prophecy about the second coming of Christ and the future of planet Earth. Okay, so if the first prophecies were fulfilled, then the second prophecies are also going to be fulfilled. Duh. So don't you want to know what they are? I mean, don't you want to know what's going to happen and how God is going to fulfill those prophecies? We actually can see how some of them are going to be fulfilled, not all of them. But there are hundreds of prophecies left to be fulfilled. Don't you want to know? So there's an incomplete story here. If you haven't studied prophecy, you don't know what's going to happen. And I'll get more into that here in just a minute. Reason number three, because from a secular standpoint, not from a biblical standpoint, from a secular standpoint, we're living in the last days. I mean, according to what some secular prognosticators have said, I want to read to you something that a man by the name of David Walker, who's a former U.S. Comptroller General, has said. This is what he says in quote. He says, there are striking similarities between America's current situation and the factors that brought down Rome, or the Roman Empire, including declining moral values and political civility at home, an overconfident and overextended military in foreign lands, and a fiscal irresponsibility by the central government. End quote. He also believed that our government was essentially on what he called a burning platform. In other words, we don't have a great future ahead of us if we continue in the ways that we are going. And, you know, as I talk about it in my book, The End of America, you know, this train is traveling so fast. This ship has taken on so much water that it's only a matter of time headed in the same direction that's going to take us under. And so we need to be aware of that. And there are many other reasons why we could list here from just a secular standpoint here, but we're living in the last days, according to Scripture. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. Number four is that because of the signs of the times. Why should you study Bible prophecy? Because of the signs of the times. So, Jeff, what are some of the signs of the times? Well, there's many we could mention here. Let me just give you a handful. The first is the fact that Israel exists. Did you know, or were you aware of the fact that Israel as a nation state did not exist for some 2,000 years? That since 70 AD, when the Roman general Titus rode through Jerusalem and sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, the Jews were scattered at that point. They were living in Israel. They were scattered to over 70 nations for over 20 centuries. And Ezekiel accurately prophesied many years ago in Ezekiel 36 and 37 that Israel would be regathered to the land. You see, in order for the events of Revelation to take place, many of the events, Israel must be living in the land again. Guess where they haven't been for 20 centuries, for 2,000 years? Answer: in the land. They haven't been in the land. But now a miracle has happened. In fact, it's been called the super sign of the 20th century, the super sign of prophecy of the end of the age, that Israel became a nation again, May 14th, 1948. And since then, Jews have been flooding into Israel. Now today, for the first time since the time of Jesus, there are more Jews living in Israel than anywhere else on planet Earth. They're being drawn home like a magnet, just like God said they would. And they've been reborn as a nation, not spiritually reborn yet, but as a nation they've been reborn. And they're surrounded by their enemies in this tiny little sliver of land called Israel. So that's the super sign. Another reason would be because of all the enthusiasm of in Israel of rebuilding the Jewish temple, which is another thing that must be in place in order for the events of Revelation to take place, according to Daniel, according to Revelation, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The temple has to be rebuilt. Well, in 1987, the Temple Institute was founded, and since then they have been forming temple instruments, temple garments, the temple vessels. They started now training temple priests already in anticipation of a rebuilt temple. They've also practiced sacrifices. They've built altars and practiced sacrifices, but they can't build their temple yet because something's occupying that land. And that something is the Muslim Dome of the Rock. And some people have ideas about exactly where the temple was on the Temple Mount, where Solomon's temple was, where Herod's temple was. But many people believe it's right there in that location in the Dome of the Rock. So that can't happen as long as the Muslims are occupying that space. Well, something could happen. In fact, I outline a possibility in my new book that's coming out later this year. But I talk about how the Temple Mount is paramount to Bible prophecy because the temple has to be rebuilt. Well, guess what? Government officials in Israel are calling right now as you're living. They're calling for the rebuilding of the temple. That hasn't been happening, folks, but it's happening right now. They're lobbying for it. They don't know how God's going to do it. They don't understand what's going to have to happen for that to take place. But so many things are coming together. Go to the Temple Institute. You can see the blueprints. They've already drawn up the blueprints. So that tells me they're just sitting on ready. God is preparing the Jewish people to rebuild their temple. And that is a sign of the times. That's the reason why you should study Bible prophecy. Here's a third reason. Globalism. The Bible tells us in the end times that there's going to be primarily a one world government made up of a coalition of 10 nations in this alliance that's going to be headed by the Antichrist. And right now, you know, there's a crisis of leadership in the world. And yet at the same time, we're seeing countries lose more of a nationalistic sense and they're moving more towards a globalist philosophy. We see that with the European Union right now. And many people think that could be the precursor for the Antichrist kingdom, or it may not. But certainly the spirit of it is there. And, you know, there's such interdependence on between nations right now that when one nation defaults financially, it affects the rest of the world. It literally affects the rest of the world. What are we going to do with these people now? Look what's going on in Venezuela right now. Look what's happened in Greece and in Spain and countries in Europe that are defaulting financially, and other countries are having to bail them out and come in and be a part of that. And it's kind of like, you know, we're into it. Guess what? You know, we're trillions in debt to China right now. The United States is. And so there's this globalist mentality, or this push, this huge push towards being a world citizen, towards being one world community. And we're seeing that. And like I said, the crisis of leadership is just making the world groomed to accept the Antichrist. And all we need is one crisis to one vacuum, one void to be created for one man to rise to the surface. And we will follow him. We don't care who he is. We'll follow him. And, you know, we've seen that with other politicians that come out of nowhere that people just swoon over. And we don't even know why, but because he promises peace and hope. That's why. What about the mark of the beast? And right now in our world, we have the technology to be able to implement this mark of the beast, this 666 mark of the beast technology. Now, I don't believe it's going to be these epidermal, you know, grain sized things that we're putting in our hands. I don't think it's going to be that, because the Bible tells us it's not going to be in a hand. It's going to be on the hand. But the technology is obviously there. We're moving more and more towards a cashless society. And there are many reasons why the mark of the beast will be a necessity for world economics in that day. I'll give you one more here. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, the Bible tells us that when Christ comes back at his second coming, that his feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives, causing a massive, violent earthquake that splits the mountain east to west, causing it to move up and down, north to south. And of course, we know from Acts chapter 1, the angels told the disciples he would return to that very spot. Now, that's something, you know, you could say, you know, thousands of years ago as a prophet, but guess what? In 2004, NBC News reported that a three-year study by the Geological Survey of Israel has confirmed this area to be at imminent risk for earthquake and that there is a fault line running right through the Mount of Olives from east to west. Coincidence or Bible prophecy? I'll tell you more next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.